Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson is intended to be a restatement of basic and fundamental convictions. Many of the things we shall say will be general in nature. But all in all, we shall consider a wide variety of points. There is usually a great interest in what is learned from polls. Polls are taken to find out what people think of this or that subject. And even though often unreliable, polls are useful for candidates for public office because they want to know what is the voice of the people and what people think about the candidates and events and issues and attitudes. Polls not only measure opinion, but they also have the power to influence opinion. You know, people have a tendency to follow what other people do and other people think. Many things have been produced by concentrating upon what the polls reflect. The attitude that everybody is doing it has taken many people the direction they have decided to go. Attitudes are contagious. People follow people. We read of prison riots in one state, and before long, inmates of another prisons or even in other states take their cue and they riot also. Let a group of disgruntled students go on a binge of destructive havoc, and some students from other schools engage in similar misconduct. Yes, what people do and think is important in itself, but its importance is enhanced in its power to influence others. There's a story about 100 years before Christ of two brothers who revolted against the power and the direction of a democratic action. Vox populi, vox dei, became the widely used phrase. What translated, it simply means, the voice of the people is the voice of God. Now you think about that for a moment. This is the attitude of many. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Now that provokes an interesting thought. It simply means, in the minds of many, that whatever most people think, that ought to be considered to be right. It was the attitude and slogan of the French Revolution, the English Revolution, and other actions taken to listen to and heed to the voice of the people. Whatever the majority thinks and says and wants sometimes becomes the rule and is considered right. The voice of the people becomes the standard. Why, in our own nation, this attitude has been prominent. America, while trying to find a happy middle ground with emphasis on the individual and the rights of each person, making attempts to protect minorities, has often promoted the attitude of the voice of the people. A monarchy is the most efficient form of government because what the king says is law. But our forefathers chose a republic to put power into the hands of the people through representatives rather than a king or a monarch. Power has the ability to corrupt those who possess it. Power in the hands of the people is thought to protect against corruption. But what happens when the people become corrupt? The voice of the people rule has its problems, as well as other forms of rule. These weaknesses in political affairs are harmful, although understandable. But what is true politically is not always true in the realm of religion. It is hard for some to understand that what might be desirable in governing a nation cannot be acceptable in serving God. Right and wrong in matters of morality and religious truth is not determined by the voice of the people. Too often people have removed themselves from the voice of God and ignored the fact that God is supreme and His kingdom is just that, a kingdom. Jesus Christ is king and the form of government is that of a monarchy, not a democracy or majority rule. The majority, as far as serving God is concerned, is usually out of step with God. Notice a few biblical illustrations of this. Consider the time prior to the flood of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. The majority were wicked and deserved destruction, and they received what they deserved. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 5, the majority of the people of Israel murmured against God and spake against Him and Moses. At Sinai, the majority called for the construction of a golden calf and brought God's wrath against Israel, Exodus chapter 32. Later in Israel's history, 1 Samuel chapter 8, The people wanted a form of government like the nations around them rather than to allow God to continue to rule as he had been doing. I ask you, friend, should the majority be followed when the majority goes against God? In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, it was obvious that the majority was dull of hearing, hardened of heart, closing their eyes to what they should see, and preventing understanding. Yes, over and over we find throughout examples of foolishness to listen to the voice of the people. Do you not remember the voice of the people when they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Now many are puzzled by the manifold divisions that exist in the religious world. Much of it is due to the fact that so many people allow themselves to be so heavily influenced by what most do or what many do. They ask, can so many be wrong? And that's the question that they ask. Are all these people lost? We hear that question. But we must keep in mind what Jesus said about the few and the many of Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14. Few find the way that leads to life. Most will go the way that leads to destruction. Certainly, friend, most can be wrong. The Bible records time and time again that most were wrong. Being in the majority does not prove that you're right or wrong. It only shows that you are in the majority. Christians must be alert that they cannot follow the multitude to do evil, Exodus 23 and verse 2, and still follow Christ. The young and the old are subject to pressures to conform to this world, but we are warned against doing that very thing, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Consider a few issues where this realization is applicable. Look at the moral permissiveness of our day. Permissiveness has given birth to the erosion of morality. Sensuality is encouraged, even promoted. Sexual perversion is finding social acceptance. Premarital and extramarital sexual relationships are commonplace. But friend, they are still fornication. It's still adultery, regardless of what the majority says or does, thinks or condones. Drinking alcoholic beverages has been approved by the biblically ignorant and the spiritually rebellious nation in which we live. But does this mean the majority is right? Most certainly not. Materialism, in its two senses, meets the approval of the masses. In one sense, materialism denies God and life after death, and heaven and hell, the reality of soul, man's accountability to God, the coming judgment. That's the voice of the people. Is the voice of the people right? Materialism, in another sense, is the pursuit and worship of the false god of having material things, money being the supreme god. Even if most say this is the way, does that make it the way? Has not such a pursuit and misuse of life produced unhappiness, contributing to reactions as bizarre as the hippie movement to counter materialism? If all served mammon, and none served God, shall we join them? We cannot serve both. Friend, where do we get the idea that the voice of the people is the voice of God and the voice of what is right? Our society today suffers under a lack of respect for God. Rebellions against authority cuts a bitter swath in almost every area of activity. Do your own thing is the cry of the day. We're the Pepsi generation. Profanity, taking God's name in vain, the use of drugs, ridicule the sacredness of things, and those who hold sacred things, to broadcast it is nothing more as entertainment. Just because others run the race toward hell, friend, are we obligated to go along? Or even stand idly by and not warn and persuade to a better way? Shall we heed the voice of the people? Marriage, divorce, and remarriage has been so distorted by the ungodly and even religious leaders of our day to accommodate the sins people practice that the sanctity of the home is scarce and its disintegration evident in many quarters. Because so many are already so steeped in sin, even some brethren have jumped on the devil's bandwagon and decided God's will does not work, contending that there are many causes that are acceptable reasons for divorce. That remarriage as one desires to be remarried is all right, compromising with the world. Are such things not simply additional evidence of the influences of the voice of the people? In matters pertaining to the church, the way of salvation, the manner of worship, who to fellowship and not fellowship, there seems to be a growing number who think we must go along with others and listen to the voice of the people. Well, I would suggest to you it's most disturbing how the evidence is so strong that even some brethren, many who were once considered pillars of strength, have decided to act according to what is appealing, according to what most like, what is popular, what enhances their image and pleases the most people. Is this the kind of teaching we find acceptable from Scripture? Not only do some try to determine what they're going to do by checking the voice of the people, but are even trying to ascertain what is truth by the voice of the people. But we must learn and never waver from what we learn, that truth is not determined by what most do or what most want. Truth is not legislated by the church. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church has no power to make, break, alter, or authorize divine law. The Christian must live, he must promote, he must defend the truth as is revealed in the authority of truth, which is the Word of God. The hard fact of Christianity as relating to the voice of the people is that the church is not to be operated as a democracy, but with respect to the monarchy of God, Jesus Christ as King, His Word as all authority. The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 19, verse 7. It is not just a standard. Dear listening friend, it is the standard. It is the only standard. The voice of the people should simply echo the voice of God. Those who truly follow God do not determine their ways by polls, by counting noses, by public opinion, by what most like, or even what they think or might want and like, but by the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, all-sufficient Scripture as it is taught to be in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Without addition, without subtraction or alteration. Any other approach is tantamount to rebellion against the voice of God. To be a Christian is not simply to be a weather vane, pointing whichever way the popular winds might be blowing. The Christian does not drift with the current. He does not check to find out what might succeed with others before he decides what to believe and what to do. The voice of the Christian must be the voice of conviction, not a voice of convenience. What would the Lord have me to do and to be and to say and to think and to defend? That's the Christian's watchword, and he can only learn what this involves from God's Word. Christians hear and heed the voice of God through Christ and His inspired Word, not the voice of the people. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.